Welcome to the Renovating Australia podcast, where we'll take you on site with industry leaders, experts, and everyday people who've mastered DIY or are just giving it a go. If you're starting a renovation, building a new house, or just looking for some inspo, we've got you covered. Before we get started, everything we talk about on this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek the help of a licensed financial advisor or professional consultant. So let's renovate Australia. Hey guys, welcome back to the Renovating Australia podcast. I'm Alicia Chapman and joined today by my co-host Katie Caudry, as always.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Amazing. So today we have Pat McKinnon and Drew Davies from Place Ascot. Hi guys.
Hello.
So we're actually sitting in your office, which is a beautiful office, I must say.
Thank you.
And you guys have been working together for the last little while.
Yeah.
How did you get to know each other?
15 months. Well,
it hasn't been that long, has it?
That's an eternity.
Well, it is for me because it took me a year of courting to get him. So it's actually a lot longer.
Well, it took me a year of courting to get what I wanted.
Was it worth the wait?
100%. We're a good couple. It's, yeah. My work wife is very happy.
100%.
Amazing. So you guys are based here in Place Ascot, but you do listings all around Brisbane.
Mostly in the north. Drew does a bit in the city, but I've kind of got a rule that you've got to be able to service the client so you can kind of get there in 15 or 20 minutes. Anything more than that, like I was just saying before to you guys before we turned on, like we got one in Sanford Valley, but we're just very clear with the guy, like, mate, you can have 9 o'clock in the morning or the last one of the day.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah. And it works. Like he's cool. Like we've been doing them at 9 a.m, but one of my staff will leave early and we just do the next open at 10:15. So we've actually got 45 minutes to get there. So it does work, but you don't want to be driving around all of Australia. We like being an in-north buyer. It makes sense for a lot of our people, but we do the odd one around.
There's a lot of crossover with Sanford Valley to the areas that we're based in as well, you know, between back and forth between Hamilton and Ascot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it does make sense.
So how long have you guys been in real estate for?
Is it about the same, about 5 years for both of us?
Yeah, six, seven.
Yeah, 5 years for me or 5 and a half, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And what were you doing before that?
What did I do? I worked in architecture for 7 years. I did some work for Jordan Belfort for a little bit. I worked in recruitment.
Yeah.
And I sucked at a lot of it.
And now you're here.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So what's drawn you both to real estate? What do you love most about it?
I was sick of just not making money. And I just thought, you know, I was 32 years old at the time and I just thought if I'm going to give it a push, it may as well be in something where, you know, the sky's the limit. And for me, that was real estate when I looked at every industry. Yeah. So I thought if I'm going to throw myself into something, it would be the right choice.
Yeah. Amazing.
Cool.
What about you, Pat?
I used to work for Harvey Norman for 10 years. Before that, I was a butcher. But
yeah.
I was probably similar. I was working for a Harvey Norman and just over it and got into property and then travelled around Australia doing off the plan and just got sick of living on an aeroplane. And my wife and I wanted to have a kid, so we're like, what do you do? Just get into resi real estate and have to work Saturdays. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Harvey Norman, I had to work Saturdays, so I had to get back used to it again.
Don't want
to
do that again. Like,
yeah. Saturdays, you know.
When they pay off, it's all right.
It's all right. Like, it's not the end of the world standing around and just talking to people. It's pretty relaxed. But like, you just got to work your schedule. So I have Fridays off. You know, it's cool. Like, real estate's actually an amazing job. Like, you know, compared to a lot of the other people that are chained to a desk all day. Yes, we're busy, but we get the joys of driving around, meeting lovely people and, you know, getting out of the office. We're actually not in the office that much. Like, we're in the office very early in the morning, but then you can be out for 7 hours. You know, you're gone.
Yeah.
That's good.
Cool. And so have either of you previously renovated your own properties? Like you see beautiful ones all the time. Have you ever been on the other side?
I've done a little reno to get it ready to sale. Yeah, yeah. I've done, we put a deck on, we did it full landscaping, painted the whole thing in and out and we did well. We had it only a couple of years and made over $100,000. So it was good. Like it was worthwhile. You know, it was enjoyable to do it. And that was before I was in resi. That was as I was getting into it. So I didn't really know what I was doing, but it's kind of if you surround yourself with the right people and you know a lot of people, you get the right advice and, you know, you do the things that make you money.
I tried to renovate my last place.
How did that go for you?
Oh, look, it wasn't bad.
You renovated the backyard to worse.
Yeah. So I spent about $80 at Bunnings and about half an hour of a Sunday before I realised this is not for me. So then I just paid someone else through little bits and pieces and ended up ruining the backyard, ruining some other stuff, and just thought, fuck this, I'll sell it and buy something brand new. So I am not the renovator.
But you're good at putting in the new house. You put rosemary in. You've done heaps of
I've seen that garden.
Lawn. It looks great.
That's because bush turkeys ruined my last lawn. So now every minute of my day, I actually popped home earlier to put the sprinklers on the front yard.
Oh, wow.
Because now
that's
the sun's hitting it, south-facing front, so I had to get, you know, got the sprinklers going. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that for summer.
Sounds like you get along really well with Charlie. Katie's husband is
he's
a bit
like
of a lawn fanatic.
Lawn connoisseur, like, don't walk on his lawn, don't, like...
Oh, yeah, I don't let my boys. I bought it because I wanted the flat, perfect, square backyard for my two boys, who are, you know, nearly 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And now that I've got it, I'm like, don't go near my lawn, please, boys. Just give it another week.
Dogs are on mine. It's frustrating, but it does look good still. It's just a couple of greyhound tracks in between it, but...
It's all right. Still going strong.
But, yeah, like, I think we admire people at Reno, but I think renoing takes time. And, you know, like, the thing with us is we don't have any time. We both want brand new houses. We want brand new houses that have nothing to do.
And we're happy to pay for it too. That's the thing. Everyone thinks as real estate agents, you're looking for the best bargain. Like when I was buying my house, I was just looking for the house that made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was happy to pay a premium for it because it let me, you know, it made my wife happy. My boys are going to be happy there and I get to go back to what I do best, which is selling real estate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just important to have a good space. It doesn't give you stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be a homely space that's not stressful, and renovating, as you know, can be stressful.
I was going to say it's definitely not like our place or probably any of our poor listeners who are going through these journeys.
So you guys have obviously won a few awards lately. Did you want to share some of those with us?
Take it away, Pat.
Oh, mate, you're the king of the award.
Yeah, look, we're pretty excited. We've won the new business award within the group for, I think, 3 of the last 4 quarters. I think not winning it last quarter drove a dagger through my heart.
Through COVID, we had a few fall over.
Yeah, so we are hell-bent on winning it because I've had sleepless nights over that. You don't think you like awards until you win them and then they get taken away from you.
You don't want anyone else to have them.
Yeah, so that's a big driving factor right now.
When I took over the office, it was a couple of years ago, I came from a not as good brand, you know, which was probably in Ascot. For those listeners outside of Queensland, Ascot's your Vaucluse, Ascot's, you know, your Toorak. This is one of the nicest suburbs in Brisbane. And I was selling with a subpar brand in this suburb, which made it very difficult. So when I moved over to Place, I had multiple clients say, we never would have listed with you with the other brand, but you can have it now. So it was a very easy transition. And this office had never done that well because the principal had never sold here. And they tried to bring one of the best principals in Brisbane across to this one who's a director. And it just didn't really work. So when I came on board, it was good to have a selling principal in here. And then obviously getting Drew on board, it just springboarded. We attracted more agents and we went from 11th in the group to 5th in the group. Now, to give you an idea on how hard that is to do in 12 months, like we're talking about offices that have been there for, you know, 15 years or 10 years, you know, that have established and we've gone from bang to bang. So, yeah, we've nailed that. And I reckon within another 12 to 2 months, we'll get the top 3 in the company and in the group. So,
That's impressive.
We've done pretty good. Hopefully we can continue it.
Yeah. I think the biggest factor is just the people we've brought in to the business as well. Mm. I mean, that's what makes a great business is the people you have under the roof. And now I think that's been the biggest determining factor.
All on the same thing, all working together and not, you know, a lot of agencies and, you know, have solid agents. If you've got a good agency that everyone's working together, it makes a big difference for your consumer. So, we got that.
And I guess speaking to that, what makes a great agent? What would you look for if you were to hire someone?
I think energy is everything, enthusiasm, energy, and hardworking. Like, you know, like me and Drew always joke about when we interview someone, they're like, I don't work as many hours as Pat, but we both are very different people. I'll be on the golf course, but that's how I don't do my networking. That's how I do my things. And, you know, Drew does it his way, but we both work hard and we both have great energy when we're in here. And I think that's the most important thing. If you get someone that's got really good energy, it's everything for me.
Yeah.
I think what's exciting about real estate is a lot of the skills that make a great agent are all learnable. You know, as long as you have the ability to work hard, and I think some agents fool themselves into thinking they work hard, you know, getting into the office at 9, then going for a coffee and then talking to other agents all day. I think if you can really dedicate yourself in this industry for 3 years and think of it like a degree, you're set. You can come out and, you know, fourth year, be earning great money, have a great client base, and do, you know, make a really good name for yourself.
Just like for sure. And let's flip that. So I have sold a few houses in my time. I've had some great agents. I've seen some very bad agents as well. How would you suggest finding those if you're looking to list a property for sale and you're, of course, not able to list with you guys because you don't live in Brisbane?
I would just meet with as many agents as possible. You get a good feel for it. You've got to, you know, like and trust the person. So the earlier on you start building that relationship, the better. And then you fact check whatever they're telling you against whatever stats you can find online on various websites. That's what I'd suggest doing. Referrals are always great too.
Referrals are great. And like I love when I have obviously someone ring me and go, can you selling Tweed? Are you selling Byron? Or someone will ask me, I'm like, I'll jump on to realestate.com. I'll type in the suburb that they live. I'll see who the top three agents are and I'll interview them all over the phone. But one thing you don't always look for is the most transactions. Like I get pulled apart in Hendra going, look, you don't sell as much or your days on markets are longer. I'm like, okay, my average sale price is higher. Yeah. And then I go, just because I don't take the first price out the door doesn't mean I'm not the best agent. I actually earn, like my average sale price is like $400,000 or $500,000 higher than any others. So that means we work better. So, you know, it's efficiency. And when you go to the house and you meet the guy, you like, someone could be really good at what they do, but they're a total douche. So you've got to interview a few, you know, you've been in my open homes. You've seen.
Yes, I have. Definitely. And I think it's a really good point to touch on. Like, is there benefit to having someone who is really familiar with perhaps houses in a price bracket as well? You know, you guys are really well versed in that high end market, but if I was renovating, say, a $300,000 home and hoping to make four, would you guys still be the same people to come to, or would there be someone else?
I'll jump in first, Pat. Yeah. Like, there's two different things you've got to think of, and it depends what you're looking for in an agent. So, yes, in the high end, especially, say, if you're selling a home in the high $2 millions. I've sold a lot of homes in that price range and I have a lot of listings in that price range now. So I know a lot of those buyers. So when we bring on a new listing and I make those phone calls to those buyers, they know me, they like me, they trust me, they've dealt with me for the last 3 months. So when I say you've got to get through this home before we launch it, they're there and they're ready to offer. And they know when I give them pricing advice and say your offer's got to come in here, they're going to be far more inclined to listen to me because they've seen me sell everything else.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, I just sold my lowest priced property ever in my entire career at $232,500 for a friend of mine. And that was all in the fact that we know how to market properties and we know how to negotiate properties. And I said, look, I'm happy to take care of it. I think we can get a quick sale. It's all about how we market it and how we negotiate it. And we did that. And that sale was actually $30,500 above the exact same apartment that sold next door to it.
And in three days.
Yeah.
In three days.
Wow.
So, you know, yes and no. It depends. Yeah. I think the skills are transferable down. I don't want to hate on agents that work in a lower price bracket, but I think the skills are transferable down, even though it's the same process. But it all comes down to who you're working with.
Yeah, I think that the understanding, and this is probably for the users, is the understanding of building, it is down up. You're right. Like when you get up, like you sell houses in Hamilton, you've got to explain to people it's a million before you get out of the ground. Then you've got to buy the block. Then you've got this. Like they have no clue. A Sydney buyer goes, what do you mean? And you're like, mate, that's why it's $3 million.
Yeah.
And then it's justification. And I think it's similar when you're selling down. Like the thing with agents is they're not pioneers. To be a good agent, you have to be a pioneer. You have to set value. And that's the problem with renovations. Just because it doesn't been done before doesn't mean it can't be sold. I have some of the standing records all through Wavell Heights because, you know, we're about to put it back on the market. $880 for a 550 square meter block renovated, but it's a beautiful house.
Yeah.
We're about to sell it for $1,000,000 two, 3 years later.
Yeah, well,
before that, it was $805,000.
Yeah.
So how can you get 10% more than the average? Because you did a good reno and you had someone that believed in what you said. So
yeah, even I think it's even more important when you are renovating to be working with an agent who has an understanding. Pat has it from his years selling off the plan especially.
Mm. Yeah.
And I have it from my prior industry and architecture, but
yeah.
I mean 14 Abbott's the perfect example just down the road that Pat and I just sold.
Project.
Yeah.
We sold that sight unseen to a Sydney buyer, but that was a matter of, you know, when you're setting a record price for a small block in Ascot, which is, you know, the premier suburb, you can't just put a price on it and think that people are going to walk in the door and start throwing you record prices. You have to show value.
Yeah.
You know, you have to explain that the doors are custom made, they're custom height. You've got, you know, American oak herringbone floors, The stairs are all laser cut steel, all bespoke made. The cabinetry all bespoke made on site. You know, that kitchen cabinetry had to be recut 4 times. It was so intricate. So all of these things add value. And if you don't have the knowledge to explain that value and how it differs to perhaps a spec home 3 blocks over, then no one's going to pay the price you're looking for. And I think with renovations especially, that's a very big deal when you're choosing an agent.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Know your product.
Yeah, sure. And I think you're selling to me already. Like, that sounds like a fantastic home over there. Yeah.
You think you walk into anywhere, right? You walk in to buy a shirt. Well, what's the difference between that shirt and another t-shirt? And the guy goes, why is this shirt $200? Oh, it's got Camilla on it, or it's got, you know, it's Fendi or whatever. Like, there's a reason. There's that. It's the material. It's everything. Yeah. So, you know, like, it's not just a t-shirt, or it's not just a pair of shoes, or it's not just, you know, anything, a car. Like, what's the difference between that car and this? Well, it's hand-stitched leather, like, or it's this. It's, you've got to see the quality. And, you know, if you don't show that to the buyer, or it's articulated to the buyer, like, we love sitting there talking to people about from the get-go when they renovate it, like we were talking about before about your place.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be involved at the start, because no point in the agent coming in at the end going, what do you think? Well, you screwed that up, you screwed that up, and you screwed that up. Or even worse, them saying it's great. Oh, beautiful renovation. I'm going to get you 2 million, 3 million. I'm going to get you 1 million. And then the open comes. They go, oh, they, you know, they hate no wardrobes. They hate this.
Yeah.
So they destroy you after they buy the listing. And that's what an agents will do. They will just come in and tell you got the best price. But then when it comes to the open home, not give you the feedback for everything you've done. So it's good to choose your agent before you start. Good to choose your agent. Yeah.
Yeah. And please ask them advice. Like my personal pet hate, there is no... For me, there's no worse phone call to get. Hey, Drew, we've finished our reno. Do you want to come and take a look? I start grinding my teeth automatically, because I can count the amount of times on one hand that I've gone and taken a look at a home after that phone call, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Usually, if they haven't taken advice from an agent, which is so important because we're the ones selling, we know the demographic and what they're looking for. You know, for instance, around here, everyone wants the kitchen downstairs flowing on to a flat backyard and pool. Mm-hmm. That's what everyone wants, but then everyone wants to do the reno the cheaper way and keep the kitchen upstairs. And, you know, for the amount you're paying, it's you're going to get a bigger bang for buck return if you flip it. Yeah. So little things like that, you know, you'd really push clients into, but they just never do it. And then they want you to come through and tell you how amazing it is.
So let's dive a little deeper into that. Every buyer is going to be different, but what do you think the main selling points are that add value to a home?
It's so difficult. And what price point, you know, like it depends what sells a home in the area Pat works in the price range that he's just knocking over left, right and center is not going to be what buyers are determined to get in Ascot, for instance. You know, in Ascot, they're all after the bigger block. They want an 800 plus.
Yeah.
But in Hendra, everything's selling in that sort of mid-high 1 millions and it's selling really fast. Yep. So it depends.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think you just can't have a cookie-cutter approach to anything. Like, you could, on one street in Hendra, you can say, okay, well, what should I put on this as a new build? And then you get people walking in there with contemporary that gets hammered. And then you go, okay, well, I'm going to do Hamptons because I make money. So the people that were just did that beautiful Abbott Street one, they just bought a run around the corner and they got sick of all their nice finishes and all their detail not getting appreciated. So they went, okay, let's go do the Hampton thing because it'll sell. You've also got to go, okay, well, I've just sold on a beautiful 2 blocks of land on the track. One's going to be an owner-occupier. They actually, at General Street, that one, so we sold a beautiful record, $2 million on a 405 in Hendra. It's like crazy amazing money.
Yeah.
Anyway, we sold the one next door for 1940 off-market, no staging. And then all the buyers that were at 1.8 suddenly wanted it at 2 the second it sold. So I went, okay, come down the road here. You're going to pay now $8.90 for a block of land, and they're spending $1.25 on a build. So they didn't want to spend 2. Now they're spending 2.2 plus.
Yeah.
The next guy next door, they bought the land and they want to sell it finished, right? So we're going to have to set 2.5, 2.6 on the track, right? But I said, well, you've got to go contemporary because you're not going to get that Hamptons look that's going to sell for that much money because there's too many comparables.
Yeah.
So then you've got to be a pioneer and get the architect, which he's done something crazy, but then you've got to have the foresight for being an agent. Everyone on the track wants the kitchen upstairs for the view. I've told both of these owners to put the kitchen on the downstairs. We've built the blocks up and we're putting viewing decks with bars and fridges up the top. So what does it do for resale value? How different is it? Now, the kitchen's downstairs to the pool, so mum's happy.
Yeah.
But the dad's upstairs having a few beers and watching the races. Because when do you spend most of your time? They race, what, one day a week?
Yeah.
What's the point in having, you know, a home that's not functional? And game-changing, right? So I've taken buyers through it and they've just gone, what the, and the people that are renovating down the road now that we've sold to have gone, okay, hold on, now we might listen to you now and move the kitchen downstairs.
Yeah.
It's going to be pivotal on how much they get at the other end. Like, it's going to be huge.
Yeah. Like, there are some things that you can definitely do that I think you're going to add value. And I think if you're renovating or building, I think 5 bedrooms, definitely at least have one of those bedrooms downstairs at the front of the home with its own external door, or, you know, bifolds, whatever they may be, so you can use it as an office, or if the parents stay, there's options. It just makes it a lot more versatile.
Yeah.
I think a butler's pantry is a no-brainer. Put a sink in there. The flat backyard and pool, the pool's got to be visible from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. That is a big, big, big one. And a laundry that's larger than you probably think with external with external access. I mean, the ladies rule the roost when it comes to making the decision. And all the time, I've seen people get so far down the route, you know, third inspection, and the wife's, you know, or partner's just like, absolutely not. You know, I'm not walking the laundry basket from there with wet clothes back inside and out through the front, you know, and so many people do it. They think, that's it's not that important.
Yeah.
And the laundry has got to be
tell big. Your wife that's got 2 boys and always at that washing
machine. The washing machine in our house is literally on. Never not on.
Yeah.
I could go home right now, it'll be on. Yeah. She's got a remote control or she's sending someone there. So
it's probably one of the most valuable, like, household items.
Yeah. So our laundry's large, but I can guarantee you when we buy our next home, it will be larger again, because the more it's one of those spaces, the more you have, the more you'll use, and it's all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing, deck out the, you know, guys don't need to preach this, but deck out the walk-in room, make them huge.
Yeah.
And like, people always put that shit white Laminex in there. I'm like, no, mate. Deck it out. Like, you know what? A girl go in a house and go,
it's expensive, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Cabinetry is expensive.
Yeah. It's expensive, but it's just so easy when you see them walk through the house. The girl's just like, yeah, I'm in.
I mean, even if it runs you another 15 or 20K in cabinetry, it is worth it, because that's going to be the difference between someone buying your house or the block or the house 2 blocks over.
Mm.
You know, it's so important.
And we even went to a house today with my wife, and we were actually looking us for a brand new. It's nice, not in
future. Yeah, love that.
And like, we know the owners and we know the developer and the builder, but she's done a man master and female. Sorry,
hers
walk-ins. Yeah. But his isn't that big, but it's big enough. And then hers around the corner, like my wife, literally, she goes, that is game changing. So you imagine my wife is, you know, like any other girl, she's got heaps of clothes and wants her own little space. It's a perfect room.
Yeah.
It's a perfect room.
It's interesting, actually. We did a poll on Instagram last night about, would you prefer a bigger walk-in robe or a larger ensuite? And the amount of people that clicked walk-in robe was incredible. It's just nuts.
That's the thing. Stop putting baths in master ensuites too, personally.
I agree.
Stop putting baths in master ensuites.
Yeah, that's a big topic on the block at the moment.
And if you're going to, stop making it the standalone bath. If you're only having one bath in a house, put the edge around it so you can use it for the young kids as well. Because you cannot bath kids in a standalone bath and have a good time. You can't sit on the edge. You can't put the shampoo anywhere.
You can't clean around just it because of all the shit that they throw out.
In a master ensuite, just put in a massive shower.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and here's a tip. You know, like, it's funny, like, The where the space needs to be is side by side, so they can get ready and do things together. You don't need a massive shower, like, but if you think about the width wise, that's where you need the space. The wider the basin, the better, because that's where people, you know, the elbow wars at the dinner table. Yeah. It's the same thing. You need space.
Yeah.
I agree. There's no point in having dual vanities like everyone lists if there's no space next to either of them. Like, don't jam in dual vanities just for the sake of it. You know, like, leave enough space. You know, my wife uses all 3 meters of it.
Yeah.
All of it. You know, I have nowhere. I get nothing.
We need three basins.
That's where we need three basins.
Yeah, that's where to put the space.
Yeah.
We'll have a his basin
in the laundry.
With your walk-in robe over there.
Yeah.
Nice one. And so do you think your advice would change if someone was renovating to flip?
100%. But again, it's all on resale value. So what you would do for your own house, think about it. Yeah, okay. But it's about making money. You've got to give the people what they want. And you can put a lot of functional things in a house that suit it, that aren't high-end finishes. Mm. Functionality over high-end finish always, because it'll sell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. So lots of people have very wild ideas for presenting to sell. We spoke about this last week on one of our podcasts. There's a show at the moment. I don't know if you've seen it, Selling Sunset. It's doing the rounds briefly with the group.
Yeah.
They did a concept called Botox and Burgers, and it was a broker open. So obviously worked really well over there. Get all the brokers in, free Botox, bit of burgers. That's not going to work when you're maybe listing your home to sell for something that you're flipping. But do you have anything that you suggest to buyers to do?
I don't know. I'll turn up.
Would you? Yeah.
You got both.
Are you going to buy our
houses? A little bit of Botox?
I hate that show because I can't listen to it because of the shit they say, and they do what they're saying wrong. So I'm like, I'm like the boss sitting there watching it. My wife's going, oh, they said that. I'm like, I could kill him right now. He could get this deal done. Like, it's funny. Like, you think we were talking about
I can't watch it.
Other skills transferable, and 100% they are. Like, I listen to those shows. Like, New York Millionaire Listing, they're really good at what they do, but oh my God, they're so bad on that show. Some of them, they're horrible. I couldn't even watch it. It was like watching a train wreck. We're about to do a really big launch with a developer in Brisbane that's just so boutique, so high end. And I've referred him to one of my mates down at the Gold Coast, Jesse Wilcox. Jesse's going to sell that one, but we went down there to look at it because we're going to pitch it to our buyers for them, obviously, in Brisbane, and we're going to launch one of their Brisbane sites. So we're actually going to do a collab launch when Place's head office opens. And, it's going to be an awesome night. And, we're going to invite not only clientele but agents and everything similar to what they do. We don't care about, the ego of getting a sale, neither does Jesse. We're all about the brand of what Place and alignment with them. Because, as you know, when they're married to us because of what we do with here, they'll be with us forever.
It'll be so good. So if you're just your everyday person and you've got an agent who's working with you that's perhaps not you guys, is there anything that you do at Open Homes without giving away any secrets, but something that can really make it feel inviting or something that you can suggest to people to do before they have their open homes, aside from keeping it clean?
That's the biggest one. I mean, just present it immaculately. Make it non-offensive.
Passion fruit candle.
Passion fruit
kicks the passion fruit.
Fruit lime.
Oh, yes, it's still fruit. Any fruit is good fruit.
Yeah. You
don't
fruit.
Don't do vanillas. Don't do.
It's a bit mainstream.
Where did you get passion fruit from?
Just, this guy gets the best.
You just made that up.
Right. No.
We're searching for passion fruit candles.
You look for the. Yeah. And I'm with the Tahitian
don't
lime thing.
Don't bother. Tahitian lime.
There's a rain candle that I found that cracks and it makes it sound like it's raining.
I've never seen a rain candle in
Oh, man, you got to get out there with your candle.
He is making the shit up. No, I've never seen a rain candle and I've never smelled passion fruit.
I've got them both. I'll buy you one. You can put it on your little.
You're going to bring it in 2 days once you've dug it out of your closet.
We are going to find these and we'll pop them in the show notes for you. Yeah.
The rain candle, I found it. It's, that garage down in Nunda? It's like it used to be a motor car garage. It's a beautiful restaurant.
Yeah.
That little candle shop in there has the rain one. And you literally light it and it sounds like rain falling on your tin roof. It is life changing. But anyway, candle.
You're guaranteeing it'll sell a house. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. Well, it's in my listing tools kit. They go, what else should you do? And I said, get a passion fruit candle. And these ladies find
it.
Or they say, I didn't find it. I'll go with the teaching line. But I can tell you now, any fruit, do not do vanillas. Do not do, they're just, you walk in and you just walk into a wall of,
it's like Peter Alexander.
Yeah, yeah, it's just too much.
I hate that store.
Fruit is not
offensive. Way too much money there.
It's just anything fruit. And floral, the same thing. It can be offensive. Yep. Where if you do fruity ones, they just smell great. And honestly, like fresh flowers, always every Saturday buy, $80 worth of flowers. Who cares? Like get a sick bunch of flowers. Put them on this dining room table. Put them outside. Yeah, flowers and clean house and music. Just like agents will bring their own music, but what's awesome is to just put, those trendy little playlists and just whack that on the TV, have that running on the TV through your sound system or your whatever. It's so much more inviting with music and something on the TV. I always love it when something's on the TV, you walk past. I think it's all good. Make the home look lived in.
Yeah, nice one. And speaking of lived in, how do you guys feel about having personal photos and things?
Just about to say the same thing.
Get them out.
Yeah,
I don't often sell homes that are owner occupied.
Yeah.
Just at that end of the market, quite often they've purchased, moved on already.
Yeah.
It's not often that. So usually we come in, fully stage it.
Yeah.
And with our stylists, we don't have to worry about a thing. But yeah, if it's owner occupied, certainly I'd suggest getting rid of as much of the personal belongings as you can.
Some like the family ones are okay. Like you could tell it could be anyone. Like if it's just your family, like it's not a big one, but the old portraits on the wall and the kids like get rid of it. Like,
I'm sure you guys have seen some interesting.
Oh, because every time someone will come through and the kid will go, oh, that's Madison. And they'll be like, oh, Madison from Kindy. Yeah,
it's the same area.
So it's not the sort of chat you want going on and on. Like it's fun, but you know.
Yeah.
Like I've seen the ones of kids, just you know, as kids, and they've got all the collages on the wall. I'm like, leave that. That's cool. It's non-offensive. Yeah. You're not going to tell. Like, you know, just little stuff. But like, just people like take advice and stage your home. Like, even we do a lot of partial staging. So like, it's about $4,000 that they come in, they rip all your crap out, they redo some beds, they redo some things. You know, I just went over to a house the other day.
Beautiful belongings, Pat.
Beautiful.
Rip all their beautiful belongings.
Yeah, it's not our shit.
And reposition.
Sounds way better. If we, like, I just went in there and they got a one-year-old baby. I'm like, guys, you need to move out. They're like, what do you mean? Wow, they're like,
yeah.
I'm like, if you want to do this and you want to go to auction, like, move out. You're going to move out anyway. So they had booked, they had leased a house within 24 hours. The stager was there in 48. And we were on the market within 2 weeks, right, with stage. And we sold it within 3 weeks prior to auction. That was in Highland Street in Wavell Heights.
Wow.
And it was so easy because every time we wanted to go there, we could just go there.
Here's the thing, and this is a problem that I see that's quite frustrating, is an owner will call in multiple agents. There'll be an agent with a lower skill set. No one likes spending money, so that agent just feels like they'll appeal to that in the seller. You don't need to get a stylist in. You don't need to do that. No, we'll work around you. And it's not really working for the seller at all because it's not working in the best interest of the price. So quite often the correct advice is the most uncomfortable. You know? Yeah. And if they're committing to selling their home or they've bought somewhere else, get out. Yeah. Get out. Take an extra 2 weeks to get on the market. Let's get in a stylist or let's interview a couple of stylists you're comfortable with. If you're going to do it properly because the results are night and day. I mean, there's just case study after case study of, you know, sometimes you're talking $20,000 difference, sometimes you're talking $250,000 difference.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So it's worth it. I can't remember the last time I staged a home and thought, oof, that didn't work.
No, like one of my stages, I think she said the other day, like every single home we've staged in the last 80 months has sold in the first 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, wow.
Like, and she's good. Like, she does partial staging. And then Imogen, who does a lot of our other homes, like we had this house, a past client of mine, and we got there and we missed the listing. They're very good clients, so we were cool. Like, I'm like, it's all good. They look, we're going to go with the local agent. The marketing was $4,000 or $5,000. She's got all the buyers. Photos look shit. They didn't take any of our advice. And she rang me about 6 weeks in, no offers. And then 7, 8 weeks in, she called me and goes, just come out. We got our stylist out there. She bought $2,000 worth of furniture. So our stylist did it for free, but she actually does it for $600, but she did it for free this case. And $600, think about the advice you get for 2 or 3 hours. She moved like the dining room here, did this, did that, did that. Our photography just looked way better. Like the photographers we use, the drone photography, they did no drone photography on a house that's 3 levels on 1,000 square meters.
Wow,
and like, it just looked mint. We had a fire going in the thing, like in the yard, like in this pit they had, and we saw.
Yeah, you best say that, Pat. It was a fire pit.
Yeah.
Pat just didn't light a fire.
The sun put petrol in it and almost went up. They had an offer at 1.6 in 8 weeks. We sold it for 1,906 in 3 days. So 3 days on the market. So we sold it on the Sunday. We launched it on the Thursday. Like boom, 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 gone. And the product looked hot, like online. And it all came down to Imogen, like going in there. And I said to them, your photos look crap because your furniture, I told you to get a partial staging. And she goes, I thought Imogen was going to stitch them for $4,000. She goes, no, just buy 2 leather chairs and put a rug here and move this here and do this. And like literally you just walked into the house and it looked like a different home. Like it was phenomenal. And that was a huge renovation. So they bought it for 1.3, spent like their bottom line was 1.85. Wow. They had to go move down to Melbourne. So they didn't want to sell it. They built it to renovate it to live. And they said, look, we'll be honest with you. This is our bottom line, 1.85. Now that's where we don't lose any money, commission, stamp duty, anything. Yep. And they made $55,000, right? They didn't do it to sell it.
Yeah.
But to break even on a record price in Kenwell Hills, like they were stoked.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to good advice. If you have the right team working around you, like Drew's photographer, who is now my photographer. Oh my God. Like, you got to see the stuff last night. My daughter's in the photos and he's got this umbrellas and poof and things. Oh, and I got a bulldog. The bulldog's running around the yard and
You guys are full service agents.
We sell furniture. Like, I've sold furniture out of people's houses. They're like, we can't get rid of this. We'll sell it back on eBay. We do anything. Like, my EA has been at this house. I said, strap in, mate. The tenants have ruined it. You're going to spend 25 grand. And he goes, I don't want to spend. I said, mate, you want to get a good price at the end? We've had painters, carpenters, got my landscapers there doing everything. Like, we do the whole lot. Like, it's been the block at this house getting it ready in 2 weeks. And we're still there then. The videographer's there now texting me. We're about to do the video. And everything we do, we've built this team of people and we can turn it on in 2 weeks. We can turn it on in a day. But, you know, if you want it done properly, you just get everything done properly.
And when we're giving that advice and we've gone through the pain and effort of knowing who's good, who's not, because it's not like we got lucky the first time around, but when you find the photographer, for instance, Mitch, I mean, I've used him for 5 years now, you know, and it's when a client brings us on, they get access to all that straight away. And if we need to pull strings, we can pull strings with them. If they need to bump someone else, as rude as that sounds, sometimes they will do it. You know, if we really need, we don't ask for it all the time, but when we need favors, you can get it. So that's the benefit of using an agent who has that team in place, you know. So those are questions you should be asking an agent also.
Yeah, 100%. All right, I really want to touch on the Scapewell house.
So earlier this year, you guys sold a house, which this is just mind-blowing. It had a skate bowl in it.
Yeah.
Explain that to us.
An 8-foot concrete skate bowl.
Did you have a crack at it? Did you have a go?
Yeah, of course I did.
I think you had an incident in that one, didn't you?
No, that was my, my pants ripped.
Yep.
Two sets of pants ripped. My butt was showing. Yeah, look, I met that owner 4 years ago at an open home around the corner. I spent a lot of my youth skateboarding. So I got talking to his son. He'd just broken his foot in the skate bowl. And I kind of said, what do you mean a skate bowl? He said, oh, I've got a skate bowl in my house. Oh my and at the time, I was just like mind boggled. I was like, so you mean you've got a skate ramp in your backyard? And he's like, no, it's a bowl in the house. And at the time, I was just like, where's your dad?
Yeah.
And he pointed in this open house and I just made a beeline for him. And he invited me round and I just said, look, if you ever sell this house, I need to be the agent that sells this. And he's like, oh, you know, would you drop it? I'm like, mate, of course, I'll do whatever, whatever you want. And then 4 years later, he calls me and said, look, I'm inviting all the local agents in. And I just did whatever it took to get that listing because I was like, you know, that was my dream house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we made a cool video, had a live interview on Sunrise with Koshy that had more media attention than anything this year. But we had phone calls from all over the world because of that social media video I did, which I just posted on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sent that out across various cities throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Had a huge response. You know, skateboarders from America, the Olympic skateboard team here, a very famous skateboarder in London. So it was cool.
I got to talk to all these idols of mine. Yeah,
and now 100%. I talk to one of these guys, you know, all the time on Instagram. That's cool. And I grew up idolizing this guy. So
that's amazing. Pretty cool.
It was such a steep bowl. Like, it was hectic.
Oh, it was gnarly. So the guy who owned it before my seller, who I sold for, was one of Australasia's biggest skate park builders.
Wow.
He had three boys. They all skateboard. So he was like, I'm building a skate bowl in my house. Just built it.
Oh, that's so extra.
But, you know, I thought it would have really polarized the market. So that's why I went so hard on marketing. I knew I needed to throw that net really wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was genuinely shocked at how much interest there was from people my age who had just done really well in their own businesses, who were avid skateboarders, who wanted to buy it for themselves to skate in.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, 35-year-old skateboard guys just wanted to be kids. Rocking up in their vans.
So I had five offers on contract in the end.
Wow.
And three of those were dudes who just wanted it for the skate bowl. And literally the wives were holding them back. Like, there were others that wanted to but didn't, but there were three guys on contract just wanting it for the skate bowl.
That's incredible. So that is so unique. Is that the most unique feature that you've ever seen?
It's
in
a good
house.
Renovation tip. Ask for that.
Oh, yeah. Skateboard in my backyard.
Yeah, if I'm selling it. Yeah, I'll travel anywhere in Australia to sell a house with a skate bowl in it.
You've heard it here first, guys. But is it the most unique? Is there anything else like, okay, it's going
it's
to be hard to there. Come close
it's
to that?
Yeah, out there. I've got a client with a full height fish tank in his living room with, I better not say what type of shark. I think it may be illegal, but he's got a shark in it.
A shark?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Almost,
that's in an apartment too.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay.
I took a $13.5 million offer on Christopher Scase's old house, and that was pretty unique walking through that thing. Like, obviously, the stories of Brisbane and, you know, the bulletproof door of Christopher Scase, and, like, it was a serious house. Like, we inspected it three times, and each inspection took over an hour, to get through the home, like, minimum an hour. And then the buyer and me, I made the offer. Lady rejected it. Ended up, she should have taken it years ago later. But anyway, she goes, but it was just a surreal thing. And then we ended up selling him Don May's house, the pizza man, for $11 million. So it worked out. But that, he rang me in the car. He goes, how surreal was that? We just made an offer on Christmas Case's house. That's probably my coolest house. But I think the skate park still wins. I still think that's one of the...
It's pretty iconic.
It's awesome.
Yeah, very, very hard to top. All right, we're going to finish on one of the toughest questions that I'm sure you guys are getting all the time at the moment. So we're living in such uncertain times, but the Brisbane market is doing really well. Like, I'm seeing houses fly left, right and centre. Without a crystal ball, what do you guys think is going to happen in the next 12 months?
You first, buddy. I think we were wrong.
Look, I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't prescribe to the fact that times are uncertain. I mean, they're as uncertain as you want them to be. If you're looking for a family home, I mean, you're going to spend more money on your family home potentially now than you would have a year ago.
Yeah.
Because you're spending more time at home than ever. You can't go on holiday, so you're putting that into your budget for a house. And that's what we're seeing time and time again. We're seeing people purchase holiday homes locally or within the same state as opposed to, you know, booking out the next 5 years mentally of holidays. They're like, well, let's buy a place at the coast.
Yeah.
So I don't particularly think times are uncertain. I think we are benefiting from, unfortunately, the downside that especially Sydney and Melbourne are seeing.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's the second home I've sold sight unseen. A lot of people, you know, one of Pat's listings, I had a buyer just purchase through Instagram pretty much. He messaged me on the Friday. I sent him a link. He's like, yeah, I'll buy that. Came and viewed it on the Saturday, bought it on the Sunday.
Wow.
I'm really positive. And I wouldn't have said that maybe 4 months ago. No. But now there's a real surge.
I think we were wrong 4 months ago, you know. Like,
People
are buying from Melbourne and Sydney houses on the Gold Coast sight unseen, regularly. Like, we've got one regularly. Our friends are saying, like, it's nuts down there. Like, and, you know, I think Noosa's probably seen the same. Like, Noosa's seeing some great growth. And I think what we got wrong was people didn't realise there's a lineup outside Louis Vuitton because everyone's got cash. There's a lineup, you know, people are spending money here. And, you know, mortgages are so cheap to get, you know. So you're looking at now $1 million loan is richly like renting now. Like, a lot of people are going, how cheap is $1 million to get?
Yeah.
And, like, we're in the same boat now. We're looking at spending more on a house now. So, you know, I think it's important that, you know, if the government keep the stimulus up, which I don't think they can't, you know, everyone's saying, there's so many opportunistics out there going, oh, this is going to happen. But they were all wrong. And we've sold all those properties now to other people who paid more.
Yeah.
So how many times you got to keep waiting for this shit to hit the fan? And you can, but is it going to happen? Well, I don't think our government's going to let us. Like, I don't think we can afford to. So.
Yeah. We have to be careful too, because there are a lot of people in massive pain right now, especially in certain industries. So
hospitality.
Yeah. We're not ignorant to the fact that some areas of the market are going to be really hurt and damaged. Like, let's say the stimulus does get pulled in March and then there's none. Of course, there's going to be certain areas of the market that will feel pain. Look, most of the areas we work in probably won't feel that pain.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably not on JobKeeper. They probably don't have their mortgages on pause. So it is, you know... It's
a tale of two economies, isn't it? Like, I think, you know, there is so many different markets within markets, but you're right. Like, the inner city market, will it get affected? I don't know. But
the investment market surely will. It has to.
Well, the banks are now throwing out investment loans, which they haven't done for years because they know that they need to get investors back into the market. So I think the one thing that's happening is that people are adapting very well, the banks and everything are. So hopefully it continues like this, but, you know, I just don't see the blood in the streets that everyone... A lot of people in property almost want, you know, but I don't know if it's going to happen. I think there's still great deals out there, and if you renovate them properly, which is what we're talking about, like, people are getting really good money for houses.
Really good money.
Yeah. Really good money. So I think you've just got to find the right property, like, as a renovator. Spot finding something at auction seems to be the key. If you've got cash, go buy it at auction. That's where the deals are. It seems that people and the vendors would rather get a contract that's cash in 30 days, which means there is a little deal there, because that seems to be where the deals are had, and then renovate it and then sell it non-auction, and seems to be selling pretty well.
I think the big thing too is not listening to your mates, like especially a lot of the negativity. Like what can happen and what I see happen is a lot of people get trapped in this little echo chamber, you know, they've got a certain opinion, they ask their mate who has undoubtedly got a similar opinion to them, and then it's just reverberated back to them, and so they think that's the world they live in. You know, I'm a big fan of, if you want advice, pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want advice, go pay your accountant, go pay a financial planner, go get real advice and have your own opinions on the market.
Yeah.
And what you want to do with your money.
Yeah.
And you know, real estate agents, we're free. We offer free advice. So if you've got a real estate agent you do work with and you have done long term, just ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of good chats with a lot of people, and what we've come has come to fruition now coming out of COVID, and like they're telling them to invest, telling them to buy, telling them to not stop renovating. Mm. And now that's coming out the other end. They're going, shit, I'm glad we finished it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And they're going, I can't believe I'm finished. I've gone through all this shit I'd ever build through COVID, and now we're about to sell it in spring. And they're like, you couldn't lose their loyalty now. Like, you know, that you could not lose the, just a great advice given to people that, you know, were we certain? Yeah. Like it's not just guessing. Like we're saying, no, I think it's going to be okay because it's a family home. But like some people sell that freaking thing. Like other people have also said to me the same thing. God, I'm glad I sold through COVID. God, I'm having money in my pocket. So it goes both ways. It's not just telling people to jump in a pool and invest, but we've told many people and done some tough deals over this period. But I can tell you now, every one of them, and the ones that haven't listened to us have copped it harder. Like there was a lady that didn't listen to us that we had an offer at 2.2 and she sold for 1.8. So 400 grand haircut because you, and
with another agent, Pat.
With another agent. We're not with us, but we also, the day she sold for 1.8, I had a $2 million contract on my desk cash and she wouldn't take my calls.
Didn't want to hear it.
So listen to people, because like, it's not just listen to bad advice, but she was always, and this is what I got to say to renovators and developers, you've got to listen to your agent. Like if you are always 100 grand more than them, it's not them, it's you. And then what will happen? The market will get you, because the market will know the only one who will want to buy it is the guy with cash, and he's going to be a lot cheaper than the other people. Yeah. And we see it time and time again. So it's good, get in front of your agent, sit down in front of them and talk to them, and really every couple of weeks and go, hey, where are we at? And look at feedback. Look at feedback, not just actually take advice and move quickly. Like you do want to sell stuff faster rather than later, because that's when you will end up not winning.
But that's why you want to build those relationships with an agent sooner rather than later, because if you're just calling in three agents blind, you're choosing one. Sometimes, and I understand why, that's really difficult advice to swallow because you've got a lot of questions that haven't been answered yet about that particular person.
Yeah.
Are they just trying to crunch a deal? Do they, you know, are they just thinking, you know, so sooner the better. If you're, you know, looking to flip or renovate or build and there's a sale involved somewhere, get to know an agent.
Start going to open homes.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely. Right.
So good.
You'll see the really who's the good ones and the bad ones. Yeah.
Don't you ever. Very good. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you. I feel like we've both learned so much today. Absolutely. And I know you guys will as well. So we'll pop it in the show notes, but where can people find you?
At definitely Drew Davies on Instagram.
At Patrick_McKinnon.
Yeah, you've both got pretty fun Instagrams, so make sure you check them out, and we will pop them in the show notes. But thank you so much, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. If you liked it, don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode with your reno friends.
If you're looking for like-minded people, come and join us in our private Facebook group. Or follow us on the gram at renovating_Australia. See you next time.